Good morning and welcome to New Life. Would you stand with us and sing?
Story. This is my song. Praise.
Someone in your life that you know needs prayer, or that God knows needs prayer, and just spend some time really thinking about that person, and let's pray this song over them.
Good morning.
That's enthusiasm. I love it.
Great. My name is Kevin DeWold, and I have the privilege of being your host here this morning. And first, you know, as we've gathered for worship here together in the auditorium, the children, too, have an opportunity to continue to worship God as they gather in Little Lights. So just Little Lights, which are kids aged 3 to 5, will continue to worship downstairs now. But kids, before you head down, we want to pray over you and pray a blessing over you and your leaders. So now, if you're in Little Lights, if you could come down to the front, and we'll pray that blessing on you as you go on downstairs. Also, Kids Church, which is grades 1 to 5, they're going to be worshiping with us today in the auditorium. There are some activity packets to help them engage with the service, and you can pick those up in the chest over there. During our fellowship time in a few minutes. If you are serving in Little Lights or Kids Church this morning, please also come down. Parents, if you want, you can bring your child downstairs, or you can let our leaders help them after the prayer to go downstairs. And we want to, at this time, pray a blessing over you. Great. It's awesome. I love seeing the kids come up here. All right, congregation, please extend a hand over these children, and let's pray together. Dear Jesus, we thank you for these children. We thank you that you've entrusted us to care for them and to teach them in your word and in your ways. We know you see each of them, and you love each of them, and you have something special to speak to them today. Jesus, we also want to bless our leaders, give them energy, wisdom, and excitement today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, Little Lights and leaders, you can go out the door on my left, it says, and head downstairs. Awesome. Great. So welcome again to New Life Church. Whether you come here every week or whether this is your first time, you're welcome here. And if you are a first-time visitor, or maybe you've been here a few times and you just want to get to know a little bit more about our church community here, we ask you to fill out a Connect card, which is in the pews in front of you there. And once you do, you can turn that in at the info booth in the foyer or lobby. And you'll receive a New Life tote bag, which includes a tumbler and a bag of fair trade Honduran coffee. And if you're online this morning, please just comment where you are and who you're watching with, as well as a way to connect. So my first announcement here, GEMS fundraiser. The New Life GEMS Girls Club have designed some greeting cards, and will be selling them as a fundraiser for their ministry. They will be in the foyer or the lobby after the service next week, May 28th. So don't go looking today. They're not there today, but next week in there. And the cards are $16 for 8 cards. Now, to me, I'm not so good with numbers and math. That's a pretty good deal. If it works out, if I do my math right, that's like $2 a card, right? And I can tell you, you go buy another card in the store, it's a lot more than that, as I found out this week. My wife and I, we had the privilege, we were out of town last weekend, so we kind of missed the full Mother's Day thing, right? We FaceTimed with our kids, and that was great, it was awesome, but we were out of town. So this week, I went to go buy a Mother's Day card. And I can tell you, you know how hard it is to find a Mother's Day card after Mother's Day? It doesn't exist. It literally does not exist. I went to Save On, and there's 2 aisles of greeting cards, and nothing about Mother's Day anymore. So, I went, there's a lot of Father's Day cards, so I guess that's coming up soon. And I thought at first, okay, well, I'll take a Father's Day card, scratch off Father, write Mother, and we're good, right? Got to adapt. Then I thought maybe that's not so good an idea. So then I looked for other ones. There's cards about how amazing, you know, my wife is, and she is amazing. She really is God's gift to me. And thought, okay, yeah, I'll find it. There's got to be something. So I found one. I found a few, and yeah, this is great. And then it says at the bottom, happy anniversary. It's like, ah. And I thought, well, hey, wait a minute. Anniversary's coming up, too. Maybe I can do 2-for-1 here. Just write, and happy Mother's Day. But our anniversary is not till like the end of July, so that might be a little bit of a stretch. Anyways, I ended up finding a card, and the irony of it all is my wife's playing piano today, so she left early. I haven't even given her the card yet, so it's a little awkward right now. But I look at the back, you know how you flip it over and you see the price in the back of the card? It's like $10 plus tax, like $12. I paid $12 for that card. I had to steady myself. And she still hasn't got it. But the point is, I look at this and I saw, man, I wish I would have known that. $16 for 8 cards designed by kids. What better card to give on Mother's Day or Father's Day than cards designed by kids, right? So I'm going to sign up. I'm going to get 8 next week. And spend the $16, support our Jen's program. Now, honestly, one thought is, I hope I remember where I put them for next year. Because I got the next 8 years of Mother's Day's cards figured out in there. So anyways, Jen's fundraiser next week. If you remember, they'll sell them in the lobby and to support our girls' program. Second announcement is one we had a just connection with one of our ministry partners on Vancouver Island, the west coast of Vancouver Island, Esperanza Ministries. And if you're new, you wonder, well, what's Esperanza Ministries? They've been around since the 1930s in different shapes and forms, but serving communities on the west coast of Vancouver Island, particularly Indigenous and First Nations communities there. And there's going to be some opportunities for us, we just found out this week, for us to go back there again. We've sent teams over there before, and there's a variety of ways of how we can help support them and serve them. And one of the things that we always wanted to do with Esperanza and our partnership is for young families to be able to serve together somewhere, right? And to make it affordable, because as great as our international partnerships are, it's hard to do that serving with a family, right? So there's going to be a meeting next week after church about those opportunities. So all I'm at this point, just have that on your radar. If you're interested to learn more about what Esperanza Ministries is and what we can do, there will be a meeting next week after the service, and more information will come in the Encourager as well. So, what was the first announcement? Oh, yeah, Gems. So you can go to the Gems booth, buy some cards, and if you're interested in Esperanza, you can continue on to go to the Esperanza meeting next week. Third announcement, summer intern. We are currently taking applications from high school or college students for a children's ministry intern. Unfortunately, I don't think I can pass as a high school or college student anymore, so I'm out, but we are looking for an intern. The position is for 8 weeks at 35 hours per week between June and September. And if you want more info or to apply, visit newlifecrc.ca/employment. Okay, so fellowship time and offering. So we're going to worship God with an offering today for the Benevolent Fund. And this is a fund that's administered by our deacons to help those in our community who are struggling financially. We also use this fund to help subsidize the cost of Christian school tuition for families who need that help. You can give your offering electronically in many different ways, or you can bring it to one of our offering boxes, which are at the front here, during our fellowship time in a few minutes. When you do make a donation, please ensure that you designate your offering in the memo line if you're paying by check, right, or if you're doing an e-transfer, just to put in their benevolent fund so it goes to the right fund. Okay, let's pray for the offering and for the work of our deacons. Dear Father in heaven, we just thank you just for the many blessings in our lives, for your expansive love that covers us, for all that you have provided to us and for us and with us, that you walk with us. And Lord, as we bring our offerings today, we acknowledge that everything we have is yours. We're just stewards of it. And as we bring our gift and our offerings to you as a form of worship to support the Benevolent Fund, we pray for our deacons, Lord, that you will give them wisdom and discernment and just encourage them in the work that they do. They're all volunteers as well, and this is all in addition to just their normal life. And so we pray that we just give them and encourage them as they fulfill their duties there. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so now we will have our three-minute fellowship time. Kids grade 1 to 5, you can come down and pick those activity packs. They're in that chest over there on my right. And at the end of the service, though, if you could please return the packet back to the chest so we can reuse any materials there. Everyone else, we encourage you to meet and shake someone's hand. You can also give your offering during this time. If you need an icebreaker question, ask your neighbor, why didn't you go away this long weekend? Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, welcome again to New Life. So glad you're here. And it's been a bright morning. And I was thinking, sometimes I get up here to preach and I'm nervous because I'm like, oh, I hope it all comes together. This morning, it was just wonderful worship. And we're preaching about the Holy Spirit in these 5 weeks. This is the second week. And it's just wonderful to know that the Spirit's presence in our midst, and then the songs of just drawing the Spirit in into our lives, breathing Him into our lives. We're going to be talking about that as well later on. But let's just begin with a word of prayer as we open God's Word. Almighty God, thank you that we can come into your presence. And as we've been made deeply aware of that, God, just in the songs we sang, that we are in your presence, God, that you are our life, you are our breath, that God, even for us to speak the name Jesus brings life, brings healing into our world. God, we long for that. And so as we listen to your word this morning as well, God, I pray that you'll inspire us, that you'll renew us, that you'll recreate us to be children of God. And in being so, that God, we can introduce people to that amazing name of Jesus, that we can introduce people to your life, to your Spirit. And so, God, as we gathered here this morning, I pray that whatever we've brought into church from this past week's experiences, whether it's been good things or difficult things, whether we come to church, God, with a sense of anticipation and excitement, or whether we come with a sense of fear or even dread, God, I pray that your Spirit will heal our hearts and our minds, our soul, and draw us close to you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the central theme that we're focusing on in this series is to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. I mean, there's lots to say about the Holy Spirit. And so that's one of the struggles Sean and I are having as we generate this series of messages is we could just talk about the Holy Spirit, but we also want to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. And that takes some mindfulness. That takes some sense of, so what are we talking about? So last week, Sean preached about anointing with the image of oil, that the Holy Spirit is conveyed with that image of oil, that we're anointed with power. Today we're talking about the image of a dove, and that the Bible talks about a dove in relation to the Holy Spirit. So let me try to get at that by following the story of Jesus' baptism. It's found in Matthew chapter 3. And, actually, it's found in every gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, although John doesn't tie it with baptism necessarily. But there is this reference to an incident in which Jesus is standing there and he's anointed with the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to ask, so what's the connection with a dove and the Holy Spirit? So let's first, as we go through this passage, this is Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 through 17. We're going to first take a look at John the Baptist, because he's the first character in this story. And in Matthew chapter 3, if we're engaged with the story, we're standing by the River Jordan, all right? We're standing by the River of Jordan along with a crowd of people. Matthew says these people have come from all over Judea, so that's the southern part of Israel, all over Judea, including Jerusalem. People have come right from the big city, and they're standing on the banks of the River Jordan because people have gotten to know John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a preacher, and he was a fiery preacher, and it drew people. And so we read this. This may be part of a sermon or something that John would preach on the banks of the river. "I baptize you with water for repentance," he would say. "But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." You can just hear it, right? Just the power of John the Baptist's message. And it brought people to the riverbanks of the Jordan, and they were like, "What's this guy all about?" And then he began baptizing, and people were like, "Oh, yeah, I want to be baptized. A baptism of repentance. I got to come with repentance." You see, John is the forerunner of Jesus. He was to prepare the way for Jesus' coming into the world. Jesus, the Savior of the world. And John the Baptist is the last of the prophets proclaiming the coming of a Messiah. And John had this huge following. You would say his ministry was definitely successful. It was incredible. It drew people. And the message was that message of repentance, which indeed is an important message. If you want to be saved by the Messiah, then you've got to come with a sense of repentance, of recognizing that my life is broken. My life is filled with sin. My life is filled with offense against God. And you repent that. You can't fix sin. See, that's the thing about sin. The only thing you can do with sin is repent. Bring that sin before God and go, "God, I'm sorry." John the Baptist brought that message to people. And it was a message with conviction. It was a fiery message. But here's the other side of it. As Matthew draws this out, message was a fiery. We would say, man, John preached a sermon of fire and brimstone. And people loved to hear it. Even if they weren't applying it to themselves, they loved to hear this sermon of fire and brimstone. And over the years of my ministry, I've often heard people say, "Yeah, you got to preach fire and brimstone." Somehow we love to hear that message, even if we don't have to apply it to ourselves. So that's kind of the shadow side of this whole thing of John the Baptist on the banks of the River Jordan preaching this fiery message. People loved to hear it because, well, strangely enough, it made them feel good. And I suspect that over the years, as I've heard that from people, "Boy, you got to preach a fiery sermon once in a while." People love to hear that. Maybe because somehow it makes them feel righteous. As a preacher who was a professor of mine, in one of his sermons, he said something like this. He said, "I always tell myself that he loved to watch these action movies, right, where the bad guys always got it in the end, right? Just like, oh, yeah, right? And he says, I always tell myself it's precisely my thirst for justice that drives my addiction to those kind of movies. But then he admits this. He says, if I'm honest, there's also a bit of vengeance rolling around in my mind. And there's also a drop or two of bloodlust. I wonder if that's why John the Baptist drew a crowd. Because of his sermon of hellfire and brimstone, people were like, yeah, give it to us. A sense of violence, a sense of, oh yeah, right? And it would beat people down, and then they would enter into the Jordan River, and then they would feel self-righteous because, well, I did this, and so I'm going to feel better now. To hear John the Baptist say the coming Messiah had a winnowing fork in his hand, and to clear that threshing floor and burn up everything like chaff, well, that did your soul some good, I suppose. To really feel the weight and the guilt of your sin, and then to be dunked in the muddy water of the Jordan River and be cleansed. You think, you step out of that river and you're like, yeah, I repented. Now I'm good. And then Jesus comes along. And I want you to notice how Matthew presents Jesus in this story. So we've set it up so that John the Baptist is preaching this hellfire and brimstone, standing on the riverbank of the Jordan. And then we read this. Jesus enters the scene at verse 13. So we've got John the Baptist. He's in the middle of his grand sermon, gathering, he says, Jesus, the coming Messiah, he's got his winnowing fork in his hand. He's going to clear the threshing floor. He's going to gather wheat into the barn and burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And then Matthew carries on. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Do you come to me? And Jesus simply replies, let it be so. Let it be so now. It's proper for us to do this. To fulfill all righteousness, Jesus says. You can understand John the Baptist's, like, just befuddlement, right? This blows John the Baptist right off course altogether. Here's John the Baptist expecting a Messiah. He's fulfilling his commission. His commission has been to prepare the way for this Messiah who's going to save the world. John the Baptist has it in mind that, man, this guy is going to come into the world and he's going to wipe out sin. He's going to slay all offense against God, and he's going to do it with fire and power. And then Jesus quietly steps in line with the rest of the crowd. This is a long line, all people waiting to be baptized for a baptism of repentance. And Jesus patiently follows the line, and suddenly he's in front of John the Baptist. And there's the Messiah, the Savior of the world. He came from Galilee, Matthew says. That is not where Messiahs are supposed to come from. People who are going to save the world have to be powerful people who come from the major religious center, for instance, Jerusalem. That is where the Messiah should come from, if the Messiah is going to prove himself to have any kind of power to save the world. But Matthew makes note of the fact that Jesus came from Galilee. Galilee was from the north. There was nobody else from the north. The north is where the Samaritans were. They were the half-breeds. Those were the castaways. Matthew says Jesus came from there. That's where he grew up. Nazareth was in Galilee. And he just shows up like everybody else. Just one among the crowd. All of them, sinners needing to repent. And Jesus is in that midst. He identifies with those sinners. And then Jesus says, hey, include me. Include me. And that makes no sense. It didn't make any sense to John the Baptist. It shouldn't make any sense to us either, really. That Jesus would be included in a baptism of repentance. What does he need to be repentant of? He's the Son of God. So you can imagine how stunned John the Baptist was. Recognizing Jesus, John would have wanted Jesus to take over. In fact, that's what he suggests. Oh, I don't need to baptize you. You need to baptize the rest of the crowd. You're the one that's going to be saving the world. You take over, please. Instead, without fanfare, Jesus enters the river like everyone else. He waits his turn. He quietly steps up to John the Baptist and is baptized. That is the perfect image of humble submission. Humble submission. And that characterizes the rest of Jesus' ministry. It characterizes the rest of Jesus' life as it ends in crucifixion and death. The Savior of the world, the very Son of God, Almighty God, enters the world as a lowly human being, not to rise above it, not to slay and conquer, but to graciously redeem by taking on the sin of the world on himself. Identifying as a sinner, though he wasn't. That's what submitting to John the Baptist's baptism was all about for Jesus. To fulfill all righteousness. And Jesus fulfills all that is right by taking on the sin of the world onto himself. Humble submission. And as followers of Jesus, that ought to characterize the nature of our lives as we seek to imitate the mind and character and the heart of Jesus. Calling ourselves Christians, calling ourselves followers of Jesus. Jesus accomplished redemption. He redeemed the world through humble submission. And we reveal that very same salvation. We're the ones who reveal that redemption done by Jesus in the same way. By humble submission, not by forcefully grabbing on to power. We're not in a war. The battle is not ours. Christ has already won the battle. The war's over. Our lives can demonstrate grace and hope and love and peace. Our lives need to demonstrate those things. If we truly trust in the salvation of our God, if honestly we say, Jesus has saved me, then our lives are turned upside down. We don't have to fight anymore. Christ has already won the battle. And if we can't demonstrate humble submission, we're only trying to save ourselves. no matter what we confess about Jesus being our Savior. And that is where the dove comes in. Matthew chapter 3, this last part, 16 and 17. As soon as Jesus was baptized, so presumably John the Baptist is still standing there stunned, and he's like, I don't get it. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was opened. Heaven was opened. Opened to the rest of the world. Heaven, the place where God dwelt, was opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on Jesus. And a voice from heaven said, presumably God the Father, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. See, the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus to confirm that the way Jesus submits to a baptism of repentance is indeed the way of God to bring salvation into the world. Submitting to a baptism of repentance, not because he's a sinner, but because he takes on the sin of the world. The presence of a dove occurs throughout the Bible, first in connection with the flood story. You remember Noah in the flood? Noah builds an ark, and then the flood comes and covers the whole, as the story goes, covers the whole earth with water. And then for 40 days, 40 nights, it rains. For 120 days, there's water over the earth. And then Noah's wondering, man, are we ever going to get out of this ark? And so he sends out a raven. The raven comes back. And then he sends out a dove. And the dove comes back, so there's no safe place to inhabit the earth. And then he sends out the dove a second time, and the dove comes back with an olive branch, and that means that God has reconciled himself to the world again. And then Noah sends out the dove a third time, and that dove does not return. The message being that God has reconciled himself to all of creation. And once again, creation is a habitable place for God's creatures. The dove is that symbol of reconciliation. And so John the Baptist, standing there scratching his head, sees this dove. And we're to make the connection that God, through Jesus, is going to reconcile the world so that once again we can live in this place with joy and peace and with the confidence that God rules over all and that God oversees us and that God watches over us and that God will provide for us. The presence of a dove. It occurs, well, in various other places throughout Scripture as well. In the Old Testament, it shows up, for instance, in Psalm 55. And the psalmist wants the wings of a dove to escape trouble and be at rest, be at peace. And he uses the image of wings of a dove to communicate that. Psalm 55. In Psalm 74, the psalmist, the dove is God's people. All of God's people. In contrast to violent and evil beasts in the world, the dove is God's people seeking God's refuge. In Hosea 11, people return from exile like doves, and God will settle them in peaceful homes. There's that image again of God reconciling the world to himself and saying, I'll create a safe place for you. In other words, in Scripture, the dove isn't exclusively referring only to the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit does show up, it's like a dove. And it means that God is identifying once again with his people. It's that message of reconciliation, representing grace and peace. God comes into this world with grace. God comes into this world to save it and to establish his peace upon the world once again. The Holy Spirit shows up like a dove in fulfillment of all human longing to find that kind of rest, that kind of peace, that kind of relief. That's why when the Apostle Paul lists the fruit of the Spirit, it's all of these, I call them soft characteristics, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We don't normally think of those kinds of characteristics when we're thinking of powerful people, people who rule over us. But that is the fruit of the Spirit. Those are the characteristics of the Spirit of God that comes into the world to bring reconciliation, to bring peace, to bring grace into this world. Not sure if we always think about that, because in contrast, when we assert our Christianity, we tend towards the harsher characteristics of power, control, anger, force, fear. Next week is Pentecost Sunday. We'll observe that. That's why we're preaching this series at this particular time, because Pentecost is that time when we remember the coming of the Holy Spirit descending upon all of the believers. In Acts chapter 2 is the story. We'll look at it next week. So in this season of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, we're seeking an anointing of the Holy Spirit. And when that Holy Spirit shows up like an anointing oil, as in last week's message, Sean said, then we're blessed with power to beat sin, to build the church, and to bear fruit that I just mentioned earlier. And when the Holy Spirit shows up like a dove, we're blessed with grace and peace to live our lives with grace and peace. In seeking the Holy Spirit anointing, we take on the mind of Christ, and in humble submission, we receive and live in grace and peace. That's why later in Philippians chapter 2, Paul talks about that. He says, have the mind of Christ. And then he goes on to describe Christ's mind. He came into the world as God, but he didn't consider equality with God something to be held on to, something to be grasped. No, he lowered himself even to that of a humble servant. The descent of the dove means that you can lose your life for Christ's sake, and then you'll gain everything. You gain everything. That's backwards for the rest of the world. It doesn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense to John the Baptist. It doesn't make any sense to us. The disciples took a long time to grab a hold of that. The descent of the dove means that you can take Christ's yoke upon you, because Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The descent of the dove means that you can lay down your weapons, let go of your defenses, release your fears, and enter into the joy of your salvation. I want to invite us into that this morning. I want you to seek that today. I want you to seek that right here this morning, to seek the Holy Spirit, an anointing of the Holy Spirit. So I want to invite you into prayer. I'm going to invite that prayer partners to come forward. We're going to be up here up front, and while the band plays, I just want you to think about this. Take a moment to reflect on the shape of your life. Maybe you've had your defenses up. Maybe you've had your fear rattled in your life and you just want to lash out. Maybe there's stuff going on within your own soul that you're wrestling with. You need an anointing of the Holy Spirit. You need an anointing of that grace and peace. Maybe it's a struggle with family members, maybe with children, maybe with your spouse. Maybe just your life in general is filled with all kinds of anxiety and you're fighting and fighting and fighting. You need an anointing of the Holy Spirit. You need that peace. Maybe you're scrapping it out in culture wars. Look, I know in this community, if you're connected at all with Abbotsford Christian School, we've just been through a scrap there. You need an anointing of the Holy Spirit for grace and peace to enter into your life so that we can continue to reveal the redemption of our God, which is already accomplished. We don't need to fight for it. We need the Spirit of grace and peace to point to Jesus, the one who turns our life upside down, who turns living absolutely backwards, so that in humble submission to our gracious God, we can live with joy, we can live with excitement, we can live with complete anticipation for the coming of God's kingdom, for his glory to shine in this world. God is a great God, and he has accomplished that salvation. So I invite the band to come up. And then take a moment to reflect on that. I know it's going to take some courage. It's going to take some boldness, at least for the first few to come forward. But I urge you, just be anointed with the Holy Spirit this morning. With an anointing of grace and peace in your life. We all need it, every one of us. Don't be shy. You won't be conspicuous. All of us are going to come for an anointing of the Holy Spirit this morning. I invite you to pray.
For an anointing, if you're able. God for my own earning, have a helper at my side. The gift was fully purchased when the Lamb was crucified. So now freely I can ask Him, for His blood has washed me clean. Let the dove of heaven rest upon the Christ in me. Let the dove of heaven rest upon the Christ in me.
Pretty tough to come up from all the way up there. So turn to one another. bless each other with an anointing of the Holy Spirit. Encourage one another with the presence of our gracious God. The Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you now, this week, and always. Let's continue to sing.